Welcome to the Volleyball Live Podcast. I'm Chris McGowan with Gold Medal Squared, and today we're doing something a little different. We're rebroadcasting the existing podcast that we created with Rodrigo Gomez from NVVA. Rodrigo has done amazing things with that organization since he took over as club director. Among other things, he's got a little podcast going, so we're rebroadcasting one that's up on the NVVA website. But Tom Melton and I had the chance to go out and work with his club, and we've been doing that on an annual basis, where we go out and work with their coaches and their players. And we talked with Rodrigo in the podcast about practice planning specific to a club organization. And I think a lot of it applies across the board. Lots of coaches have limited time to plan practice. They have the club environment is one where you've got strange numbers sometimes that don't always fit to the models of the drills. You've got time demands and constraints. You've got unpredictability and variability. And so we talk a little bit about how to deal with that. Just some of the kind of big items that and big priorities that come across as you're planning club practices or practices in general. And it was a great conversation, and I hope you enjoy the show.
All right, we're here with Chris McGowan and Tom Melton from Gold Medal Square. We're going to be talking a little bit about practice planning. It's a pleasure to have Tom and Chris here. Chris McGowan was the former head coach for Brigham Young University. He's the son of the legendary Carl McGowan. Tom Melton is one of the
partners
of Gold Medal Square, and has many years of club volleyball, college coaching experience. And Chris and Tom are here at NVVA this weekend helping us out, coaching our kids. That we do that twice a year. Every year doing a clinic, coaching the coaches and the kids. Chris, thanks for coming.
Yeah, I'm super excited to be here. Thanks for having me.
Tom, thank
you. Yeah, we're fired up to be here. Thanks, Rodrigo.
Thank you guys for coming. And we're going to talk a little bit. It's going to be an informal conversation to help out our coaches. We had a clinic yesterday, talk about practice planning. So we kind of just wanted to record some of the things that we talk about so that we can share not only with our coaches, but with the volleyball community about how to plan efficient practice, right? Yes, we talked a little bit about some deliberate practices and how to look at this overall picture of learning. So, Chris, at BYU, like, what did you guys look at at Gold Medal Square to create a good practice?
Yeah, you know, just some background. One of the things we talked about yesterday is as you start looking at the influence that practice has on the quality of your program. A lot of influential people talk about a practice is where it really happens. And, you know, to some degree, I think Bobby Knight, we quoted him as saying the quality of your practices determines the success or lack of success in your program that you as a coach are going to have. And so for us, practice was probably the most important time that we could spend, especially at BYU. And I think that translates really well into the club world too. And obviously it's a challenge because there's so many variables. With a college program, you kind of know what you're going to get. You know who you're going to get. You kind of know when injuries happen, you know when classes are scheduled. And so you know if players are going to miss, it isn't a surprise. And so there's the opportunity to kind of put together really, really, I don't know, well thought out, well constructed, you know, highly deliberate practices. I think it's a little bit more of a challenge in the club world, because like we said, there's just so many variables. Kids will just not show for a day, and you know, you don't have nearly as much time. You know, you're kind of spread out over more days. You know, it's a Tuesday, Thursday, or a Monday, Wednesday, Friday, as opposed to every day of the week. And so just, I think the variables make it a little tougher. But one of the things we said yesterday was just as much as you can do to plan practice, and not just for a day, but to have kind of a larger goal in mind, like, hey, I want to be good at this for this period of time. We started talking about operating around priorities. And so we just think that it's really, really valuable to plan around priorities and long-term priorities and work those day in and day out and day in and day out. And that's really how you see success is just, you know, hey, I'm going to focus on these things that are important every single day. And we're going to get a little bit better and a little bit better and a little bit better. And pretty soon at the end of the season, we're kind of a good team here. So, yeah.
Yeah, and so club volleyball, though, that's the question that we get the most. Like, you know, everything that we see on the strategies, a gold medal square theory and everything is great. But then the coaches come to me right after we talk yesterday. They're like, yeah, hey, Rodrigo, I have a full-time job. I wish I had more time to plan. Or I only have 3 hours a week with my kids. So how we help them to understand priorities and understand what you focus on, Tom? Like, what do you guys look at when you're coaching your club team back in California?
Well, you know, I think I can relate to those coaches quite a bit because I'm working pretty hard and then I'm running off to practice and kids, like Chris said, are just coming in and some kids aren't showing up every now and then. Somebody's injured. Somebody has basketball practice. And so what do you do? How do you plan and how do you organize? And when I was first starting to teach, someone said to me, teach what you know what you teach. And so these coaches don't have to be masters of a million drills. They need to have a few key drills that they can run every practice that I think get the ball, these drills get the ball going back and forth over the net where the players are playing volleyball and they're learning how to read. And these coaches can come in and modify three or four, maybe five drills and just tweak them each and every day. But that certainly helps a lot with practice planning. And so maybe as they're planning out their week, they're thinking, hey, you know, we've got to work on serve receive. We've got to work on transition. We've got to work on our digging targets. And so they can look at the drills that they're great at, that they know, and then they can just tweak what they're focusing on in that drill. So, I think that's practice planning simplified, but simple is better than complex.
Yeah, and then Chris, like by doing those camps, like clinics across the country, like what do you see as like something that every club has as a problem on their club with coaches that they need to focus on to plan that practice? Like what kind of skill or anything you see?
For me, it's just a function of organization and maybe sitting down and thinking about it a different way. You know, what's the purpose of practice? Why am I doing the things that I'm doing? A lot of coaches, I think, you know, I talked to Hugh McCutcheon, and his favorite thing to say these days is it's easy to get sweaty. It's getting better that's hard. And so I think a lot of coaches kind of mistake, you know, productivity with activity, you know. And so we get in, we run around, we do all this stuff, but are we getting better? And so, you know, like Tom said, I'm just looking for opportunities to get meaningful reps. So, you know, a lot of volleyball looking like reps. And I'm looking for opportunities to give a lot of really good feedback in an environment where the kids can understand it, learn it, and adapt to it. And so for me, it's just getting organized, you know. And we talked with your group yesterday about here's a little pattern for trying to help myself get organized. And we're going to think about phases. We're going to think about priorities. We're going to start making plans around those priorities. And then we're going to put them into, you know, these grids and then think about a weekly plan that translates into a daily practice plan. And it takes a lot less time than people think. You can probably, if you're a club coach, you can put together really, really good practices in an hour. And not an hour each, but I could, you know, sit down and go based on, you know, some work that I did early. Maybe it takes a little while early to get everything going. But I think practice planning, if I've got three practices a week, I could plan three really good practices in about an hour's worth of time. You know, on Sunday night, get everything dialed in and be ready to go. Email out the kids, here's a schedule for practice. You know, email me if you're not coming kind of thing so I can make any tweaks I need. And I'm ready to go. And one of the really magic things that Tom talked about is if I don't have 75 drills that I'm worried about, if it's just, hey, I'm keeping things easy and I'm keeping things simple, I think, you know, if I had an hour of time, I could plan three really good practices if I'm a club coach. And so for me, you know, people think about, well, where am I going to come up with an hour of time? And it's like, yeah, find it. You know, this is maybe the most important thing outside of just being in the gym that you can do to improve the quality of your team and the quality of your kids. And so for me, that's really, really well invested time, making sure I have a great practice. And so, yeah, find it somehow, you know, come up with it. And I suppose to some degree, if I'm coaching this club team, I feel this great obligation to be great for these kids. And that's, I think, one way that you can really be great for the kids is to come to work prepared, you know, come to work and be organized and just be as good a coach as you can possibly be, and that's a part of it.
I think also, you know, if you've got your handful of drills that you love, you should kind of be thinking ahead, like, how can I modify this drill if I only have 10 kids in practice today? And so you're ready to be flexible on the go in case you need to do that. And that's a creative part of planning practice and of coaching, is known to have a few cool little fixes on the fly. But that certainly helps to have those extra little tools in your toolkit.
And Tom and I were talking, and I think for me, the little fixes that I always looked for first were setters and liberos, huh?
Yeah, oh, for sure. And, you know, it's funny when you're talking about setters and liberos in my practices with my kids. I'm trying to get one of my areas of foci is to get every kid learning all the skills in practice. That's a big goal for me, is to make certain that I'm coaching well-rounded players, and we're not specializing these kids in practice where middle hitters are only getting middle reps. My middles are getting serving reps and setting reps and passing reps in every practice.
Yeah, and it's interesting that as a president of the club, I also have a full-time job before I go coach on the court. I'm just helping with that 14s team this year. I'm an assistant coach. But even though I'm next door to the courts, I'm busy all day. And I can clearly see the difference the days that I take only 30 minutes to plan the practices or when I take 1 hour. And the kids, I feel like they realize that. I feel like some coaches, they go out there and just expect the kids to do whatever they tell them, but they are just coming with those crazy ideas on the run, like as they go to the court. But when I show up with a nice plan on the whiteboard and I show the kids that I have a whole plan and everything is fitting with each other, it makes a huge difference.
And I don't think it needs to be a secret, right? Like, it doesn't have to be like, haha, here, you know, I'm revealing this. They can be, it's this involved process. And I was like talking to the guys, look, you know, we're not good here. Look, here are the numbers. Here's what I'm looking at. Here's what I'm seeing. And we're not as good as we want to be in this area. And so we're going to emphasize that in practice a little bit more. So know that more reps in that area are coming at you. You're going to get more feedback about that. We've got to improve in these areas. And so I think it's nice because it draws their focus in to what we're working on as well. And so, yeah, I always like sharing with the kids, you know, hey, this is why we're doing what we're doing. This is how I've structured practice. And this is what we got going on because of these reasons. And I think that really ties them into kind of the purpose of, you know, of being there and getting better. Again, not just, hey, I'm here to run around for an hour and a half and, you know, get sweaty. I'm here to actually really get better.
Yeah, don't you guys feel that some coaches are afraid of that communication with the kids because they might be afraid of getting challenged somehow on their knowledge?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
Yeah, you know, I create that the atmosphere in practice where kids can ask questions, and I like it when my players actually challenge me and they want to know more. So that's fine with me.
Yeah. So with that, then, in my mind, planning a practice comes with further education. Like, because if you want to run a drill about passing and you want to teach your kids, you really need to be a master on that subject. You guys agree with that? And what kind of tips would you give to coaches to become a master on some subjects to be able to be challenged by the players?
Yeah, you know, I think all of us are at some stage of development in how good we are at anything, you know, and Tom and I are both interested in getting better as coaches. And so, you know, I think that mastery is this kind of ongoing process. And certainly I'm trying to do everything I can to educate myself about the things that I'm doing as a coach. I think for a lot of coaches, they find themselves in kind of this, you know, early stage of their coaching development. And, you know, they might not think, hey, I'm a master at coaching passing. And best way to do it is just throw yourself into it. Learn as much as you can, find out as much as you can, and then just go coach it. And you're going to make mistakes. I've made so many mistakes as a coach, you know, and you just hope, and it's inevitable. And I don't think it's anything to be afraid of. And you just got to dive in and screw things up every now and then. Mm-hmm. And hopefully you figure out, man, that wasn't as good as maybe I would have liked. Yeah. and hopefully do it better the next time. But I think it always is going to be better the more prepared you can make yourself going into it, for sure.
Well, I think it could be a little intimidating to coaches and maybe a little bit of barrier to taking some risk if we're telling them that they have to be masters, but circling back to what I said earlier, I think it's really important to know what you teach and teach what you know. And so they can come into practice focused on a few key things. But I also think it's really important for the coach to be transparent with their players and open and honest. And it's okay to come and say, hey, I want to learn a new drill. I want to teach a new drill. This is new for me, and we're going to work through this together. And I think if you're open with your kids, they're going to trust you. And they can tell when you're not prepared. Like you said before, mm-hmm. your players know.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you're trying to fake it, they're going to see that.
There was somebody I was talking with not too long ago that said they were at an HP clinic out in Colorado Springs. And one of the things that Karch had said to the women's national team, he was, you know, saying, hey, here are the things that we talk about in the gym, was he told the kids right off the bat, he says, I'm not good enough. And you're not good enough. And we're both going into it with that understanding. And I'm really trying to be as good as I can be, and I'm going to get better. And so, you know, that's what you're about too. You're trying to be as good as you can be, and you got to be about getting better. And I think, you know, as a young coach, I was a little insecure too, you know, and just didn't feel like that was a conversation that I was comfortable having, you know, letting in on, I'm not good enough. And feeling comfortable with not being good enough. You know, you kind of try to prove how much you know early on, kind of create these defense mechanisms. And I think as time goes on, that's one of the things you begin to understand is, yeah, I'm not good enough. And that's okay. You know, I shouldn't be expected to be good enough because mm-hmm. I haven't had enough time, you know, and I'm going to get better as time goes on.
Yeah, and that's why a lot of our coaches share with us is that, like, oh, my team can't serve over the net, so I can't run that drill. My kids can't pass, therefore I cannot run that drill. But for me, when I'm coaching out there, when I see a kid that can't serve over the net, that becomes my challenge. So I try to learn as much as I can to make sure that kid can serve, because I know it's going to make my team better. So for you guys, as we go to the practice planning and you have those in club volleyball, those challenges of players they're a little behind, how do we go about adapting your drills to make sure that happens properly during practice?
Yeah, that's the great question right there. And I think we have to look at our kids too. You know, they're on this pathway of mastery and learning. But if we don't expect them to learn these things, if we don't challenge them, they're going to be stuck where they are right now. So we have to expose them to activities and drills and practice where it might be a little difficult. It's going to look messy and it's going to be challenging. And I look at my current team right now and I think, man, we're not very strong fundamentally, but somehow we can play volleyball a little bit. And it's because in practice, that's what we're doing. We're playing volleyball and balls are being entered in demanding areas, and we're asking kids to turn and run and read. And it started when these kids were a little bit younger, and they had to do those things at young ages too. And so if we don't move beyond simple blocked practices when they're little kids, they're just not going to learn how to play the game.
Yeah, it's such a hard question, right? Because, you know, you want to feel like, you know, you're there for every single athlete on your team. I kind of feel like there's, when I'm teaching a skill, the kids fall into that kind of 20-60-20, where 20% of them are going to pick it up really fast. They're going to understand it, they're going to implement it, and they're going to go. And then there's 60% that are going to kind of, you know, it'll take a little bit longer, and it's, you know, but eventually it comes along. And then there are going to be 20% that just, you can't do this, and it's going to take a really, really long time. And I would always talk about, hey, you want to coach to that 80%, the 20 and the 60, and maybe 20% of the kids are, you know, kind of falling behind to some degree. But, you know, how do you triage your time? You know, how do you decide where the best return on my investment is for this club? And to some degree, I think you got to figure out what you're about as a team and as a coach. You know, at the younger levels, I'm probably much more willing to invest in that last 20%, and I'm going to spend a lot of time, you know, a lot more time maybe bringing them up to speed than I would on a really competitive 17s team where, you know, the whole object of this team is, hey, we got to win matches, we got to get exposure, we got to be great, and the best way to be great is to coach to that 80%, and that 20%, you know, you guys might get left behind a little bit, and that's so you kind of, I think, have to decide, you know, what am I about? What's this team about? What's this experience going to be about for these kids? And you want to make everybody obviously happy, and you want to have a great experience for everyone. But it's that's really, really the tough part of coaching is figuring some of that stuff out. You know, not just coaching them, but trying to decide how much help everybody needs and who gets to come along. And yeah, that's a tough question. Yeah.
Yeah, and that's exactly the challenge. Here in NBVA, we have travel teams. They're like the kids that are trying to get recruited and play in college, or kids that are ready to commit more time to play in volleyball. We have a select teams, which are kids that are still very good players, but they are not committing as much time. And then we have our regional teams, that teams that just play regionally here, just kind of a step up from playing leagues and things like that. So when planning practices on a regional level, for instance, I see some of the coaches that have a little harder time because players are and parents are paying a fee to just come in and enjoy the game. And if they just come in with skills and say, okay, raise the hands together, straight and simple every day, and the kids are kind of like, oh man, let's do this again. They kind of throw into a little, let's do a little running drill and things like that. So Tom, how do you deal with the difference in levels and adapting your practice to these different levels of play?
Oh, wow. Yeah, that's a good one. I have been coaching some traveling teams, but you know, I think the deal is I think regardless of your ability level, I think you want to come into practice and know that your time is valued, and you want to have a lot of fun. And I think the best way to have a lot of fun is to play volleyball related activities in practice. I don't care what level you're at. And so if you can throw some learning in there and throw some keys in and a couple areas of focus and we can get the ball going back and forth over the net, you're going to have a great practice. You're going to have a lot more fun than running it in some one single contact drill and getting back in line. So, regardless of what your interest level is, if there's some level of competition and a little bit of level of intensity in practice, they're going to have a great time. And so maybe we're not getting after these kids and being as demanding, and we're not beating up these regional kids in practice and making them run liners and all that stuff, but for sure they're going to enjoy practice because they're playing volleyball, and that's why they're there in the first place.
Okay, and Tom, you have your Mr. Potato Head team in California. Can you share a little bit with us about your experience? I know you guys last year played a tournament. You always share with us that you were really low in the tournament, and the next year you finished really high. So share a little bit about your team.
Well, 2 years ago, my daughter was on a 14 and under team, and they were playing it. She was playing in a different club, and they finished right around 150th in a qualifier. And they're great kids. I really like the coach, but it's just tough to watch. Kind of maybe there just wasn't a lot of progress for the season. And the next season we came out and we played a ton of volleyball in practice. And one of my priorities that I try to organize throughout all the phases of my season is I want kids to learn all the skills. I want them to have experience playing at all the skills. And it's really easy to work that in practice. If you're playing Queens or Neville's Pepper in practice, you can rotate around who's going to set in the next wave. And you can have kids handling the second ball. And so on my team, I call them Team Mr. Potato Head, because we can just start putting parts just about anywhere, because all these kids have learned all the different phases of the game. And certainly it's starting to be a little more demanding to learn how to be a middle and how to turn and run and transition. But all the kids know all the footwork patterns. So And a funny little anecdotal story. I needed to talk to my setters in between sets in a match recently. And I'd always told all my players to think of themselves as setters if they walked into a gym. Hey, I can set. And so I said, I need to talk to my setters. And the whole team walked over to me. And so I gave them a lot of credit, and that meant a lot to me that they all walked over. So I had 12 setters standing in front of me. But, you know, it's just a really important part of my program that these kids learn all phases of the game. And so we don't really have a lot of tricks up our sleeve and on offense. We're not trying to do anything real fancy. I'm coaching the 15s level, but we can transition and we can rally and we can dig and we can set the ball off the net and manage the ball with one hand a little bit. So, team Mr. Potato Head is, we're starting to play and we'll see how we end up this season.
That's really cool. And that story kind of reminds me a little bit of, a team that I had here in BVA when I first came in. It was an 18s team, and I came in late. I came in February. I was in Brazil. I got hired, and I couldn't get here until February. The season was about already 3 months into it, and they were way behind, losing a lot of matches. And when I came in, I watched them practice, and I was like, this is not good. They couldn't pass. They couldn't serve properly. It was bad, and they were 18s. So I came in first day in February. I said, hey, toss, hit, and catch. You know, toss, hit, and catch. And that was hard for them. And they look at me like I had four heads. And we start going. And I had to, you know, that's what I like to tell my coaches. It's a sales job. I had to sell them the idea. You got to believe in this. And we went through the season. And end of the season, getting second place in our region. You know, and they went from last place to second place. So I think coaching, in my perspective, is kind of a sales job. That you need to sell an idea and make sure they believe in you and follow through. Chris, anything you have to add to that?
Yeah, that's Hugh's favorite thing to say. We're salesmen first or saleswomen first and change agents second. And so I think, you know, one of the things I like about trying to sell the kids on this process is a lot of what I feel like we teach at Gold Medal Squared makes sense. From lots and lots of perspectives, from a scientific perspective, from biomechanical perspectives, from the way humans learn, brain science, that sort of thing. And so for me, the sales is pretty easy. And then I can always point to our national teams and really high-level collegiate teams, other really good club teams, and go, hey, look at these kids. Watch how they move. Watch what they're doing. This is what we want you to do. This is the way good players play. And so I feel like, but I was always of the mind that, man, I wanted my players to understand why. And I wanted them to want to know why. And I think if they understood why we were doing the things we were doing, it was always a little bit easier to sell.
Okay. Yeah. Well, thank you very much, guys, for coming. Chris, what's coming up next? Anything exciting coming in the near future?
Yeah, there's always fun stuff coming for us. So yeah, I get to go back home and ski, hopefully, here. I'm looking forward to that. But we've got a full summer of coaching clinics, just a tremendous staff. We've been so fortunate to have so many great people that are associated with our organization. And it's just a real treat to get to go and spend the summer with them and get to spend some time in the gym with them. And yeah, I'm looking forward to that for sure.
Tom, anything exciting coming up with your team, with your Mr. Potato Head team?
We're headed to Colorado this week, so we'll see how we do. And it'll be a fun adventure for these kids.
Good. That's a tough tournament.
That's for sure.
Great. And it's a pleasure to have you guys here every year. I decided to bring you guys twice every year because it's just so good that we want to keep it going. I wish I could bring you more. And I love I have been working with Gold Medal Square for 11 years now. And it's easy to sell. It's an easy sell, and there's a lot of backup. If you want to call it, it's a great product to show to our kids. So I'm excited for the clinic this weekend and excited to see what our teams do this year.
Yeah, and I think it's – hopefully you understand how much we appreciate the opportunity to be here and how wonderful you've been over the years for our organization and what a tremendous job you're doing here. It's awesome.
Okay, yeah, Rodrigo, you're doing a great job here at MVVA. It's great to see all the energy and all the coaches and kids. So keep that.
Thank you. Thank you, guys. You have a good night.
If you want more podcasts, video, articles, and other volleyball instructional resources, you can find us at goldmedalsquared.com, on our YouTube channel, on Facebook, Instagram, and on Twitter. Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter for the latest interviews, news, and other promotions. Thanks for listening, and we hope to meet you in person at one of our camps or clinics.